All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, and I want to go over some of the same material that we went over last week. You know, we have to understand with these Jews, basically, they're Jews of the diaspora, and they're, you know, many of them have trusted the Lord as her Savior, but it's...
Dale, you got a feedback that's just moving a little bit.
Yeah. How about that? Is that okay?
Yeah. It's a water problem.
Okay.
I'm
going to have to teach my...
Oscar's got it. It's a water pump.
I'm going to have to teach my associate what feedback is. That's not feedback. There might be an echo, but there's no feedback.
Irrigation,
Doug. Irrigation pump.
I'll put the microphone over.
It's the pump. The irrigation pump. You're hearing.
Carry on. Irrigation pump. The pump. The pump for irrigation.
Oscar just went to take care of it.
What do you do? Come on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's on it. You may continue.
Is that a problem?
Not
anymore. Okay.
We're
wasting time. I'm on online. Okay. Fourth chapter of Hebrews then. And let's see if I can get my mind together again where I was going. We need to understand that repetition is part of learning. And the Lord told us, go into all the world and do what?
Preach.
Now, when I was in Bible college, I had a teacher that was really into all the other things that you can do besides tell. And but the command of the Lord is go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. That means cry aloud or speak forth the word of God. Now, statistically, for learning, all that you can remember at best in 24 hours is 10% of what you hear. Now, like if you go to a movie and you use the eye gate too, so both the ears and the eyes, then it picks it up to about 40%. And then if you get it up where you're actually doing hearing, seeing, and doing, then it raises it about another 25%. But all of that aside, we have to remember what the Lord said. He says, preach the word. We speak forth the word of God. Why? Because the Lord said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So the very fact that we can't retain a lot just by hearing, it goes together with, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner or the habit of some is. So we're told to grow in grace. And if you don't grow in grace, then you're never going to have any real knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with the Lord, we don't deserve a thing. The scripture tells us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and what?
Sinneth
not. But if you want to get big, have lots of people, great big cathedrals and so on and so forth, then you have to pander to the flesh. And that means give the flesh something to boast about. And that's what we see in churches. There's a great deal of talk about your life. Well, biblically, nothing you do in the flesh can be remembered, because as far as God is concerned, and of course it's covered by his omniscience, as far as the flesh is concerned, you died with Christ. The only things that can be remembered now, none of your sins are going to be remembered. Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them. When?
No more.
No more. Okay. Does that mean that we have a license to do as we please? Well, the Lord can still correct us if we get too wild in our deportment. But, and that's okay. Because if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you what?
Bastards
or illegitimate and not sons. So let's start reading here. Remember, we're writing to Jews who historically were the people that God chose to preach the word in the world. And then, of course, when they were had just come out of Egypt, they were delivered from Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And how were they delivered? Well, they were delivered on the Passover. And who is Christ? Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Who is Christ? He's the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sin of the world. Now, none of us, I don't care who you are, none of us can have a right relationship with God based upon what we do. We have a relationship with God based upon what he does through us. So, who does the work? It's Christ. You know, when I preach, I'm dependent entirely upon the Spirit of God to give me those things which I don't know what everyone needs. You know, and if I got to preaching and thinking about what people are doing or not doing, then more than likely I would, be pandering to the flesh and trying to correct things. You know, no, I'm to preach what? Preach the word. Now, be diligent or instant in season, that is when there is a problem, out of season when there are no problems. You know, I'm to reprove. What does that mean? Well, that's to tell you when you're wrong. To rebuke, that nobody likes to be rebuked, but as the man of God, and I'm not really conscious when I'm doing it, because I'm preaching by the power of the Spirit of God, and I'm preaching the message that God is laying on my heart as I'm preaching it. No, I don't have any notes written down. I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. I study the portion of Scripture. And ultimately, my desire is to take us through the book and look at every verse, and so that we can know what's in the Word of God and so that we can grow. But at any moment in time, I have no idea what the next word out of my mouth is going to be. Now, that sounds strange, but no, that's, we teach, we preach, we use the gifts that God has given us by his power. So you maybe, have the opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord. They don't know him. And as you sit down, the Lord gives you, things that you haven't thought about for years. They just come to your mind and you're able to put them out. And that's what it means, when we preach, we teach by the power of the Spirit of God. Okay, now, we have Jews that had tons of traditions. And most of them were based upon fleshly concepts that were based in the false concept of what they said in Egypt when they came out, and God gave them the right, if they wished to be, he gave them the law. And rather than saying, Lord, we can't do that. Look at what we were like in Egypt. Every time you judge one of the false gods, we moaned, we groaned, we complained. We were not very good at doing your will. That's what they should have said. But what did they say? The human ego, just like, that's what the serpent tempted Eve with. It was with her own human ego, And who was her spiritual head? Adam. And, but, you know, let's go back and read it again. You know, we can't read these verses really too many times, because it's, we read in Scripture about the sin. And what is the sin? Well, it was the concept that Eve was deceived and Adam was not deceived. Adam entered into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil out of his love for Eve, because God, Adam was still in the image of God. In the image of God, he had the wisdom of God. And he knew that if he did not eat of that tree, Eve, whom he loved, would be damned forever with no hope of redemption. So, when he ate of it, he died. Now, that set up the whole gospel thing. And we have to remember, God is what? One of the attributes of God is that he's what? Omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has the power to do anything that's consistent with his will. Now we have all these scientists trying to figure out how the universe got there. Go to the book of Genesis and you can read, in the beginning, God. It was God who spoke the universe into existence. Yeah. And, but they don't think that's scientific. Why isn't it scientific? Because scientific is centered in the flesh. And man loves to boast. You know? If there's anything that man likes to do more than boasting, let me know what it is. I'm the best lover in the world. I'm the best fighter in the world. I'm the best hunter in the world. You know? Quit pointing fingers, folks. I don't want to know. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to Genesis. Now, in the okay, let's find here where I want to be first. Okay, well, let's first of all look at the commandment in the second chapter. And the Lord God took the man, verse 15, this is Genesis chapter 2, and put him into the Garden of Eden. What was he to do? To dress it and keep it. What does that entail? Well, it needs to be watered. It needs to be pruned. You know, there's a lot of work. When you see these beautiful gardens around the world, nobody has a beautiful garden by osmosis. Yeah. It's work. And I happened to be watching a golf tournament. And of course, they're going to be, the women are playing this weekend at Baldestrol, which is an incredible golf course. And you look at all the work that it takes to maintain a golf course, and it looks the same every day. That's because the guys get out there at dawn before, before you can get up and go play golf. And they're out there mowing and edging and trimming and so on. A lot of work, okay? So it says, and the Lord God took the man, verse 15 of the second chapter, and put him into the Garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. So he was the greenskeeper of the Garden of Eden. A lot of work involved, okay? And he says to him, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden. And so the garden was made up of fruit trees. And he says of these fruit trees, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Now, people make an assumption because of the next verse. But God can't be tempted with evil, neither does he do what? Neither tempteth he any man. So God didn't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. The devil put that there, see? Because it's contrary to God, and God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. So those verses that we learned along the way are important principles that we have to apply if we're going to rightly or properly interpret the Word of God. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what is the knowledge of good and evil? This concept of right and wrong. In essence, it's man's morality. Okay? Thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what?
Surely
die. There's no question about it. You're going to die that day. He didn't say he was going to die physically that day, but he said he was going to die that day. Now, he's in the image of God and dwelt by the Spirit of God, but he's going to suffer death, and what is it? He's going to lose his spiritual life. Now we know that he lived 930 years. By our standards, that's a long life. I'm one-tenth of the way. I'm going to disappoint Eric and see if I can make it another 100 years. No, you know, believe me, whenever he's ready, I'm ready. Yeah, but as long as he has something for me to do, I'm going to do it, okay? So he said after this, let's go to the third chapter. And let's look at this whole thing with Eve. And we've looked at this many, many, many times. But, you know, you can only retain so much. So we need to look at the details and straighten out the details from what man thinks. Because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned and he's spiritually dead. So everyone that's born into this world is born spiritually dead. Even the babies that are born into this world. You say, oh, they're so innocent. Just don't take care of them when they want to be taken care of, and they're going to make your life miserable. No, it's just part of being human. Okay, now the serpent, chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now, if you want to deceive somebody, and men are always doing this with women, you know, oh, I love you with all my heart. Let me have what I want. You know. And women are more easily deceived. You know, some women, you know, are not easily deceived. My wife wasn't one. Joanne, her dad did a very good job of training her, you know. And he says, don't be fooled by these guys who are passing out all these flowers, you know, because if they can't get you, they're going to get the next one, you know. It's just, you know, and Joanne was a beautiful woman, very beautiful young woman. Okay. Now the servant was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, did God really say? I changed it to language that we would better understand than this old English. Yea, hath God said. Or did God really say? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So what's he doing? He's casting doubt upon what God said. Now, we as believers are to grow how? We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more we know, the more strength we have in this world and against the wiles of the devil. And he's a wily creature, you know. And yet he tells us exactly what we want to hear. Okay? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did he say that? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, that's true. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, that's true. Neither shall you touch it. Uh-oh. She's trying to strengthen her battle against the devil. Yeah. So what has she done? She's deviated from the Word of God. The devil can't deceive her as long as she stays in the Word of God. But now she's already deviated from the Word of God, trying to make her argument stronger. Well, if you don't know, don't say. You know, that's why the scripture tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner or habit of some is. But, you know, so much the more as you see the day approaching, the closer it gets to the end of the age. And we're getting close. You know, all of this inflation, all of this, you know, we're moving hard towards having one world currency. And we've already got the technology, the tap technology. You have a credit card, you just have to tap it? No? So what if they put that in your arm? You just swing it over the scanner or lean in and let it read your forehead. Now, back when it was written in the New Testament, you know, we didn't know what the mark of the beast was, and we didn't know it'll be in your forehead or in your hand. Well, that certainly works with tap technology. And it certainly works with one currency or no currency at all, but one way of purchasing for the whole world. Now, what's going to happen under the reign of the Antichrist? Unless a person, you know, this isn't going to happen to us because we have to be taken out before he can show up. So the only people that are going to be here that know the Word of God can't be deceived because they've lived and died. And then, you know, they return to the earth as 144,000 Jews to preach the truth of the Word of God. Where? In Israel. They're not going to be in all the world. That was our job, go into all the world and preach the gospel. To whom? To everyone. If you want to hear the Word of God after the first resurrection of the church, you're going to have to go to Israel to get it. That's the only place it's going to be. And so our leaving in the resurrection and their arriving, you know, is going to be in close proximity to the arrival of the Antichrist. And who is the Antichrist? Well, he's the devil incarnate. You know, he, you know, was, you know, he counterfeits the entire ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he counterfeit it with? The lie he spoke to Eve. And that's what so many people, every religious system in the world is based upon the lie of the devil. And most of what is called Christianity, and almost all that was called Judaism, there were believers, but almost all of them were deceived by the law. That I can be like God by the life that I live. Can you? Absolutely not. Yeah. So we have to keep that in mind. And the woman said unto the serpent, she says, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. That's correct. Neither shall you touch it. That's incorrect. And then she says, what? Lest ye die. God said, ye shall surely die. See the difference? Not a great big change. A lot of people would recognize that she isn't saying exactly what we read in the second chapter. But this is the way that people get deceived. They think they're quoting the Word of God, and they're actually operating in the lie of the devil. So, for God to know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Or I missed what the serpent said. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. How could a loving God, how many times you heard this? How could a loving God send anyone to hell?
Right.
It's everywhere. Yeah. And we have religions that you get reincarnated, so you live your life as an untouchable, and then hopefully if you're a good untouchable, and there's no such thing as a good untouchable as far as the Hindu religion is concerned. But they say, oh, well, then you might come up one step, and get reincarnated enough time, and then you get to be a high Hindu. And then you have an inheritance in heaven. Wonderful. And you know how many of our movie stars are duped by that? There's so many of them that have to have an Indian guru. Yeah. What is it? It's all show. Yeah. Okay. So then the woman's, the serpent said, and God doth know, in verse 5, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. No, you're going to become blind. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness on them. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. When Jesus healed blind men, what was he portraying? The portraying of salvation. You know, you're blind, and the blind man said, once I was blind, but now I can see. And each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we may not see as much as others, but once I was blind, but now what? I can see. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I know that I have eternal life. And so then she ate of the tree and was deceived, and then Adam ate of it, and then God had to make a sacrifice for them, so that he clothed them in the skin of an innocent victim that had to do what? That victim had to die. It had to shed its blood in order for them to be clothed in what would represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we as believers in Jesus Christ in this age, what's the scripture say about us? And this is something that's so hard for people in the churches to get this through their head. Jesus said to us, or Paul was the one who spoke it, you're dead. And your life is hid where? With Christ. Where? In God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also do what? Appear with him in glory. So the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I died. I'm up here alive before you. I'm operating, hopefully, by the power of the Spirit of God as I put forth the truth of the Word of God. And so as we do that, that's being done by faith. And there's nothing I can boast about in any of the things. You know, I was saved when I was 21, just 21 and a half years old. So I've got to get to January next year before I will be X number of years old in the Lord. No. So 70 years old in the Lord in January. Okay, that being the case, all of these years, and I went to 3 Bible colleges. It was about 5 years of going to school, but I only got credit for going to school for 3 years. Because one school I went to, I was absolutely worn out. I was working 40 hours a week at Douglas Aircraft. I was only getting 4 hours sleep a night. That's on a good night. I didn't always get 4 hours sleep, depending on how much homework I had. And then once I took the test, I passed them all. And then what? They didn't give me credit for it because I was exhausted, and I said, all they're going to do is sit around and waste time for the next few days. My efforts are in. So I quit going to try to regain some strength. And I didn't find out later because I was thinking about going on to earn a higher degree. And I found out that of all the credits that I went to school for, 4 semesters before I went back to Missouri. That should have been enough, you know. Well, that would be 2 years. Yeah, that should have been half enough to give me a degree. But I only got credit for, I think they gave me credit for 15 credit hours. That's just 1 semester. And I'd completed 4. And then I found out that the school that I quit going without attending those latter days, when all they were doing was wasting time, they just said, we'll erase those. It's as if I never did it. Yeah. So, you know, good old Christian attitude. You know, pay, you know. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And they should have been able to see about that time I weighed, well, I know when I graduated school, I weighed 125 pounds. I now weigh 165, so I'm 40 pounds heavier now than I was when I graduated school, and I'm not exactly fat. Got a little bit of a belly. But the point is, you know, just take it away because you didn't attend. Yeah. And so then the first school I went to, well, we don't have classes in this because it was a Bible college rather than a college and seminary. So we don't have classes in Greek, so we can't give you credit for that. And we don't have classes in psychology, so we can't give you any credit for that. So I transferred 9 credits, you know, after 2 years' work. Yeah, 2 years going to school full time. I think it was two, maybe could have been three. Anyway, lose track over time. So let's come back to Hebrews. What we have to recognize is everything that happens to us. Now, I could really be upset with that. They didn't give me what I paid for. And I could really be upset. But the truth of the matter is, I learned a great deal about my so-called Christian brother. And I learned a great deal about, you know, well, if you're going to be a good Christian, you have to do that. You have to do that. No. Studying the scripture says that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I died. That tells me you're dead. So nothing that I do in my life counts for anything except those things that I do by the power of the Spirit of God with the gifts that He's given me. So all of my sin is under the blood, and we've got all of this stuff that, you know, we get involved in this, we get involved in that. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so it's as if we're already in heaven with Him. And that's what the scripture said. You're dead. You died with Him. You were buried with Him. You were raised with Him. And now God counts us to be dwelling with Him in heaven. So the only thing that I can do, that you can do, that we will be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ, is the things that He has empowered us to do by the spiritual gifts that He's given to us, and then are operating in those spiritual gifts, trusting Him, okay? And there's all kinds of spiritual gifts, okay? So it says, let us fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, how can a believer seem to come short of entering into God's rest? But what every church does, oh, you have to be holy. You have to be righteous. People have to look at your life and say, oh, I want to be like him. And I've never found anybody yet that I want to be like. You know, and least of all, some of those very self-righteous people that I went to school with and that I sat in their classes. I didn't learn something. I learned both how to do things, and I learned how not to do them, you know. So the Lord was teaching me all along, and it wasn't that I didn't get some things that were good. I did. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? It says faith. The translator later failed to translate the definite article. It's not faith, which would be personal faith. It's the faith, which is the body of revealed truth. And the translator did this sort of thing quite often. You know, and our, do we need to moan and groan about it and say, well, they didn't translate this and they didn't translate that, so it's not my fault? No, you're told to study, to do what? To show yourself approved unto God. Okay. Approved unto whom? Approved unto God. Okay. For unto us the gospel was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached, speaking of the nation of Israel, did not profit them, that is the Old Testament, I believe, you know, the Old Testament nation of Israel, not being mixed with the faith. They did it because they thought they could please God by the lives that they lived. Now, what are we being taught in most of the churches under the canopy of Christians? We're being taught, do this to please God. Don't do this. That'll also please God. No, you're dead. And as far as God is concerned, you're already with him in heaven. Your life is hid. Hid where? In Christ. So it's only the things that we do in Christ that can be remembered. And so when I'm preaching, when Eric's preaching, if you're witnessing, if you're inviting people out, and there's so many things that you do with a spiritual gift, you may not even know what your spiritual gift is. You just function in it without a complete knowledge of what it is. Yeah. And that's okay too. You don't have to know if the Lord didn't reveal it to you. For we, which have believed, now we're talking about Jews that didn't believe, and now we're talking about Jews that did believe, for we which have believed, and that would apply to us as well, do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath. Now, if we go back to Psalm 95, we find that they didn't translate this correctly. Get rid of the if and put a not in. So it says, they shall not enter into my rest. So, as I have sworn in my wrath, those that do not believe shall not enter into my rest. That's the only one that won't enter into his rest. Everyone who has believed on him will enter into his rest. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did what on the seventh day? God did rest. So as far as your eternal life is concerned, are you active or are you at rest? You're at rest. It's a done deal. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have work to do. We do, and we do it by the power of the Spirit of God with the gifts that he's given. But anything that we would try to manufacture with the flesh, all of that died when we died with Christ. And each one of us is counted to have been crucified with Christ, to have been buried with Christ, to have been raised with Christ, and if you read the whole verse, and to be presently seated with him in heaven. So judicially, we're already in heaven, but actually, we're still here on the earth. But our judicial position. So what about all these churches that teach that you can lose your salvation? How is that possible? If I died with Christ, was buried with Christ, and raised with Christ, and am seated with Christ in heaven, how can I possibly lose that? You can't. No, you just simply can't. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, you know, I went to the wrong verse, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day. When God finished his work, and as far as God is concerned, he's omniscient, so he sees the work of every one of us from all eternity. You know, so everything that we ever have done, are doing, or ever shall do after we were born again into the family of God is secured in heaven, and you can't lose it. Pretty amazing compared to what I used to hear day after day in classes, and day after day you had to attend chapel. If you cut chapel, you got cut. Yeah. I had to go to chapel and listen to some of those idiots preach. Okay. And this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Okay. If you're going to enter into his rest, seeing therefore remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not. We're talking about the majority of the nation of Israel. You know, didn't enter because of unbelief. How do we enter into rest? By believing God. Okay? Who gave us the faith to do it? That's why each one of us had a day of salvation. He gave us the faith to believe. Before that, we couldn't understand not one word of the Word of God. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. So how are we to operate? The just shall live how? By faith. Faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing comes by hearing what? The Word of God. So, you see the importance. You know, I try to pump up attendance. It never seems to work. People all have their things they're going to do, and they're going to do them. You know, but sometimes it gets to be a really bad habit. And all that's happening by you not growing as you should grow is you're shortchanging yourself at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as he said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua, that's translated Jesus, it's Yeshua, or Jesus in Greek, it's Yeshua in Hebrew, and Yeshua, is transliterated into English, is Joshua, okay, or Jesus. So, or if Joshua had given them rest, who took them into the land? Joshua. How many songs do we sing? On Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast a wishful sigh for Canaan's fair and glorious land, where my possessions lie. Unfortunately, that's where most people's possessions lie. Canaan is a type of the flesh. And we've got it, you know, we're trying to make it entrance into heaven. Yeah, and it doesn't have anything to do with that. Were the Jews ever at rest in Canaan? Well, they're back there now. Are they at rest now? They're no longer under the law, but they think they are, so they have to perform the law. But if they've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, they're at rest. But otherwise, you have to perform. You have to perform. And if you don't perform perfectly, you're condemned. Can you perform perfectly? No, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There remaineth therefore what? There's a rest for us. A rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, he's speaking to Jews under law. So therefore, Jews under law, your work is over. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So if we apply what was written to Jews under law to ourselves, we were never under the law. When we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we've been at rest ever since. But what is the majority of the churches under the canopy of Christianity try to do? They take people back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they shun the evil side. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't spit, don't chew, all that kind of nonsense. And they say, you know, you live a life that's well-pleasing to God and you glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by your life. It's a fat day when any one of you or me glorify the Lord by our lives. Now, Christ is perfect, and I won't be perfect. I'm judicially perfect right now, but it's judicially. It hasn't happened yet. It won't happen until I pass into his presence. And then, of course, he'll prepare a body like he did for Saul of Tarsus when he was stoned to death on the streets of I can't hear you.
Lystra.
Yeah, okay, Lystra. I couldn't remember all of a sudden. He was stoned to death on the streets of Lystra. He was immediately in heaven. He was in a body. He couldn't tell whether he was in a body or out of a body. It doesn't really say he was in a body. But as he looks around, you know, everything's glorious. He's able to see, he's able to speak. All the things that take a body to do. So more than likely he was in a body which the Lord prepared for him while he was in heaven. And we know that we're not disembodied when we go to heaven, but we have to wait for the day of the resurrection when he brings, you know, if we're alive, he changes us. And if we've died and it's just disintegrated into so much dust and then blown worldwide, he'll bring all of the elements that made up this body together. And when we stand before him, we're going to stand before him in this body glorified, so that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is camping really better than that? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your love, your goodness, and your grace to us. And we pray that you just anoint our minds with these truths so that we might see what our inheritance is and that we don't deserve one bit of it, but we have it. We still continue to sin, but all of those sins have already been paid for. They're under the blood. They're forgiven and they're forgotten, and they will never be remembered against us. So when we begin to see who we are, where we stand positionally, it ultimately reflects where we will actually stand, actually, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.